Windows or doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
Pickup lines of the elderly.
Want to break a hip?
Welcome to the 6 o'clock news. I'm your anchor, Woodrow, but don't have a paddle.
Unlikely things to hear on a morning show.
It's midnight.
That's right. Well, actually, it's not. But that, of course, is Colin Mochrie doing improv, and we're going to improv an interview. Colin, welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
I love the bits, but the thing about the news anchor, that, like, is my, I don't know, I relate to that one. I love play on words. I love puns and things of that nature. And apparently so do you, as witnessed by what we just played. And not everybody does.
Those people are idiots. Puns are, I know they're disparaged. It's supposed to be the lowest form of humor, but yeah. I'm sorry.
No, my dad, we used to sit around at the house and just lob them at one another about the most innocuous topics. Listen, let's get to the business at hand before we get to the interview at hand. Colin Mochrie, along with Brad Sherwood, are going to be touring in a show called Colin Mochrie and Brad Sherwood Asking for Trouble. And I have in my hands the itinerary around the Midwest, March 6th in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the Forest Hills Fine Arts Center, March 7th, in Toledo, Ohio, at the Valentine Theater, March 8th, Pontiac, Michigan, at the Flagstaff Strand Theater, and March 9th in Glen Ellen at 4 p.m. at the Fine Arts Center there in Glen Ellen. And it is an evening of improv, but one of the things that struck me is that when, you know, watching you and then the other folks on Whose Line Is It Anyway, you know, it goes pretty quick. Boom, 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 boom. But now the two of you are going to be up on stage, and will you be taking suggestions from the audience? Is that the way this goes?
Yeah. We like to say it's sort of a live version of Whose Line, but without the dead weight. And you know who I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Everything starts with a suggestion from the audience.
Right.
Some games will be familiar to Whose Line fans, and there's others we've had to develop because it's just the two of us.
Yeah,
we have audience members on stage with us for half the show, so it's pretty wacky.
It sounds great. You know, Chicago is the home of improv, as far as I know, with a woman named Viola Spolin, who years and years and years and years ago developed all these improv, quote-unquote, games, but she didn't develop them for specific improv games. It had to do with trying to get communication between immigrants who didn't have a shared language. Maybe that's going a little too deep. But anyway, that's where it starts. So that's a fact.
Thank God.
That's a fact, Jack. So, Colin, I would surmise that you have spent most of your adult life as an improv performer. Would that be correct?
That would be safe to say, yes. Yes,
yeah.
Mostly improv. Certainly since the success of Whose Line, that's where I sort of got known, and that allowed me to do improv with Brad and other improv troupes around the world. So it's
yes, indeed,
a good run.
So yeah. I mean, international improv. I mean, as far as I know, fill me in if I'm incorrect. Canada, London, Los Angeles. Would that be part of the itinerary of your life, so to speak?
Yeah, we've also done India.
Really?
Ireland, New Zealand, Australia.
My God. And
Norway? I did, Norway.
How about the audiences in these various spots? Is there must be some sort of cultural difference and reaction, isn't there?
You would think. When Brad and I did a couple of weeks in India, and, you know, we were a little worried. Because, you know, it is a different culture, even though it has a large English-speaking population, it's still, you think, will they get what we do? And for our first suggestion, we got fart. So we thought, nope, we're fine.
Well,
everything's good.
It's the international language. I mean, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everybody's got them. And they had obviously in India and all these other locations been acquainted with you on probably Whose Line. How did that start? Because that is, I don't know if you are aware of how much material there is of you doing that on YouTube. It is hours and hours and hours. Where did you start out with Whose Line?
I was at Second City in Toronto, and Whose Line had started as a radio show.
Really? Now, yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Wait, how would that work?
No, I mean, you just make up stuff, but you're on the radio. The faces are smaller. You can't really. People like Stephen Fry, Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
People like that. And then they moved it to television. And because improv was still a fairly new art in Britain, they would go over to North America and audition people. And they'd come to see a show that I was in at Second City. They had us audition the next morning at 8, prime comedy time. but because, you know, our cast, what improvises a cast, we did that thing you do in improv where you support each other so nobody stood out.
Yeah.
And then next year, I moved down to L.A. with my wife. They came through again. I auditioned with people I didn't know. And it was like, hey, screw you guys. Look at me. And there's the lesson, kids. Always look out for yourself.
I'm intrigued by this. I don't know why I didn't connect with the idea of doing, quote-unquote, improv on radio. But that's a fascinating concept. I just never thought about it, but you could have people calling in and throwing you suggestions, and you respond.
Yeah.
Only no visuals. I might have to try. Try that.
Exactly. You could have a live audience. They'll certainly throw things out at you. And you know, Britain is so big with like their comedy panel shows. I mean, there's hundreds of them on radio as well as television. So they had sort of a they knew how to do it well.
Yeah. Absolutely. I know the shows that you're talking about. I see them on, well, I did used to see them on TikTok, but I don't do that anymore for at least the time being. So they have got that down to a fine art, the panel interview comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of doing it on the radio, John returns to that again. I got to think about that. That's pretty neat.
All right.
I got to think about that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, to a certain extent, you know, talk radio, what we do is partially improv. I mean, it's not done to somebody giving you a suggestion, but it is you sort of meandering around without any kind of script, hoping to make sense.
Exactly.
Talking with Colin Mochrie, he and Brad Sherwood, their show, Asking for Trouble, and we'll ask him more about that when we come back on 720 WGN. WGN, maybe you recognize that as the theme to Whose Line Is It Anyway? And it's Colin Mochrie. How does improv work?
Oh, okay. A simple question. How does it work?
Yes.
Well, it's really actually quite simple. The reason people think it's difficult is because it goes against everything we do as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to listen to people. You accept their ideas, then you work together to make a scene. And it really is that. And, you know, when I've been teaching improv workshops to people, the hardest thing for people to do is to accept somebody else's idea. Somebody will give us, you know, as in the scene, you give a suggestion, and the person will go, you know what, I got a better idea. And in improv, you can't do it. You have to, in some ways, get rid of your ego. If your partner gets out the idea, that's the idea you're working on. So it really is a collaborative, it is an ensemble art form. We really have to work together to make it work.
And I hear the two most important words in improv are yes and.
That is correct. The yes is accepting, and the and part is adding on to that and building onto the scene.
Which you can use, obviously, in any discussion about anything.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
You know, I've got a little improv itch, actually, and I took a couple of classes recently, Improv 1 and Improv 2 at Second City here in Chicago, and I don't just enough to be dangerous in this interview. But I really enjoyed it. And it is that collaborative effort of all those involved, because you don't know where you're going. And
yeah, it's like someone throws a bunch of IKEA pieces at you and goes, make a couch. And you go, okay. And right. You know you have your end game, but you don't quite know how you're going to get there.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you don't even know your end game when you start out, though. Isn't that right?
That is true.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
is the bad time.
You know, the difference between, quote-unquote, stand-up comedy is a much different animal than improv. You know, stand-up is rehearsed routines and written jokes, and improv is, whoo, tell me what you want, and here we go.
Yeah.
What was
I mean, I have nothing but respect for stand-ups. To me, that the most difficult of all the comedic arts. You know, you're up there doing your stuff, the audience is sitting back going, okay, you think you're funny, let's see. At least with improv, you know, they're giving us suggestions. So they have a bit of a vested interest in us doing well. So we have about 10 extra minutes where we can suck.
Yeah, and that's a built-in part of all of this. It may not go as well as you want, but there's always a next time. When did you first decide that improv would be the path for you?
Well, I don't know if I decided that, because, you know, when I was growing up, improv really wasn't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jonathan Winters was probably the only person who would sort of come to mind where people go, oh, he's just making things up as he goes along. And then Robin Williams later. But I was in theater school and I saw a demonstration of this thing called theater sports, which was improv in a sports sort of setting. And I thought, oh, that would be fun. And then I started doing it in Vancouver where I was growing up, and it became this huge cult success. And then
yeah.
We started having lineups around the block. But I never thought, oh, this is going to be my career. I thought this is a great thing to do on the weekends. And, you know, you get a few extra bucks for lunch, but that's it. And it really wasn't until Whose Line it gave us all sort of a career. So I'll always be grateful to it.
Yes, and I guess because Chicago is what it is in the Second City in its history, improv here is a very important, very permanent part of the entertainment landscape. I mean, there are more classes. There's classes and all sorts of stuff over at Second City. But it's the improv part that I think is the main attraction and also the main, what's the word I'm looking for? Reputation, if you will.
Yeah.
For Second City. And it's gigantic. I don't know if you've been in town recently, but Second City is like an entire, almost half a block with multiple
it's
floors.
Amazing.
Multiple floors and multiple theaters. Classrooms, it's wild. And I had a lot of fun doing it. And I think part of it is that, as you mentioned earlier, you need to be a person who likes to feed off of other people's energy. Would that be correct?
Yeah. You have to enjoy working with people. You have to enjoy building something together. You know, you have your little moments where you can kind of showboat, but it kind of destroys the scene if one person is taking over. What I love is doing a scene where you don't know who the straight man is. It's because there's so much give and take. Someone can be sort of feeding the narrative for a while and then all of a sudden become just the funny guy. So I love the way it's constantly changing.
Well, that's the good part and the bad part. I mean, that's that footing is not, that's a slippery slope, or at least it can be. And then when you and Brad Sherwood get on stage with this tour asking for trouble and you get these suggestions, are these short improv scenes, or are they, I guess, what they call long improv, or a combination of both, depending on what you get from the audience?
Yeah, it's kind of a combination. We have like a list of, you know, 8 games for the night, depending on the layout of the theater and things like that. So, but, you know, unlike television, where, you know, the scenes have to be fairly quick, you can't really spend a lot of time. Everything has to be like 3 or 4 minutes. We can take more time. So we can do a game like sound effects. It can go like 15, 20 minutes, as opposed to on television where it's 2 or 3 minutes. That's what we love about this show, is that we can take our time and milk that comedy cow dry.
Tell me about these games. You mentioned one, sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
That's we get 2 audience members up.
Yeah.
Brad and I do a scene, and they have to provide the sound effects. One provides the sound effects for me, one provides for Brad. And whenever we do something that should have a sound effect, they're there. It could be anything from, you know, driving a car to playing bagpipes, whatever the scene calls for. And what I love about that scene is, if they can do great sound effects, great. If they can't, even better.
Yes,
it gives us more to work with. So it is almost a no-fail game, knock on wood. It's one where it works both ways.
Can you give me some of the other games that you play? I find this very intriguing, quite honestly.
What other games do we play? We do, we bring someone up from the audience and sing an R&B song with three different, the first verse we sing one line at a time. Then the second verse we sing one word at a time. And then the last verse we sing in one voice.
Wow.
So it's, You know, sometimes when I talk about what I do for a living, it's like, oh, I can't believe I'm getting away with this.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Yeah, they're paying me to do this.
Yeah.
Sort of amazing, actually, if you think about it. So when did you and Brad decide that it was time to launch a tour, a no-script show called Asking for Trouble? How did that all come about?
It was during Whose Line with Drew Carey hosting.
Yes.
And every Super Bowl weekend, he would take us to Vegas, and we would do shows at either the MGM or Caesars or somewhere. And they were a lot of fun. It was the entire cast plus some friends. So there was like 10 people on stage. So we never really, nobody ever really got a chance to do a lot of stuff. So Brad one day said, what do you say the two of us try, see if we can do a tour, just the two of us? So that was 23 years ago, and it's still going.
That is fantastic. So this is, how long are you on tour? I mean, is this weeks and weeks and
it
weeks?
It keeps going till my hips go. So who knows? I'm getting close. Getting very close.
Yes. We'll be appearing tonight with an improv group consisted of people from an assisted living center.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you have any other specific plans for this, or is it solid the way it is and we're going to keep it going that way?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, we've been touring for a long time. Right now, I think we're booked up until the end of the year.
Wow. So
we're going to December, and then we see what happens. And, you know, there's every once in a while, something will come up out of nowhere. You go, oh, that sounds interesting. I also do a tour with a hypnotist where he hypnotizes audience members, and then I improvise with them. And that's a lot of fun. Also, totally different from the show I do with Brad.
Whoa.
But there's always, people are always, you know, experimenting with different forms of improv, different ways to utilize it. So it's an exciting art form.
Improvising with somebody who's hypnotized.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mind is racing. Far too, I can't pull it back and put a coherent thought together, but that idea is crazy. Who came up with that?
It's pretty wild.
It's got to be.
The hypnotist, Asad Mekki, he was taking classes at Second City, and he realized what the instructors were telling him were to get out of his head and to, you know, go with the, and he thought, oh, that's kind of what I do with when I hypnotize people. It gets rid of that part of the brain that says, oh, I can't do this, I'm going to embarrass. So he approached me, and we did it, and it's been great. And it's fascinating. I mean, the show is, it's just, I mean, for entertainment, absolutely. But it's interesting to see what happens when people get out of their way. And there was one night we had this guy who was hypnotized, and a part of the show, we sang a duet together. And at the end, I saw him with his family. His entire family was crying. They'd never seen him or heard him sing, ever. And he was, like, very quiet, very shy, and very humble about it. It was just fascinating.
Is there video of that? I would love to see some you improv with the person who's hypnotized.
I think there's little snippets on TikTok and Instagram. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we haven't got any long form stuff. But yeah, it's really interesting.
We've been talking to Colin Mockery, who, along with Brad Sherwood, will be in the Midwest area doing a no-script show called Asking for Trouble, and they have a website, colinandbradshow.com. And once again, those tour dates are March 6th in Grand Rapids, March 7th in Toledo, March 8th in Pontiac, Michigan, and March 9th in Glen Ellen, Illinois. Thank you, Colin, for being with us so much. I love your work. I love improv, and break a leg and keep at it. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
You bet.